So this morning, Louise shared with me her copy of the Wall Street Journal from last Monday. And through the month of October this year, sales of Bibles are up 22% since the year before. So this is even before the election. People are looking. Okay? That's good news. That's good news. They're going to the store. And these are people that have purchased their very first Bible. Now, what that should tell us, church, is that those of us that know the Word, those of us that have the answer of Jesus, we need to have our eyes open. We need to have our hearts open. And we need to be living and looking and loving in such a way so that you and I can be a resource, that you and I can shine the light of Jesus and let people see the story in flesh and blood. That's what Jesus has done for us, and that's what we can do for others. So, it's a very exciting thing. It's a very exciting thing. And again, maybe the world is getting to the point to where people are looking around going, okay, well, all of the normal things I've tried to lean upon are falling short. Nothing else is working, so maybe I'll give God a try. Be an example and show them what it looks like when a person gives God a try and then gives God control. We can do that for others around us. So that was very exciting, so I wanted to share that with you. So be aware. Be aware. Don't be afraid. Be aware. All right. Let's go to our Father in prayer, and then before we do that, anybody in here get their first Bible this year? One there? There we go. Part of that statistic. Another one doesn't count. It's got to be your first one. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Innocent blood shed for our sins. Father, we thank you for the redemption that you have given us. We thank you, Father, for washing us clean. And we thank you, Father, after cleansing our hearts and washing our bodies, that you saw fit to dwell with us. You saw fit to make your home with us. And I pray that every day as we walk by faith, as we trust you, as we love you, as we serve you, as we live for you in thanksgiving, that you guide our steps. I pray, Father, that our lives look like the life of Jesus, so that all those people around us that are looking, that are searching, that are seeking, that we will realize our part and understand that the harvest is plentiful. Pray, Lord, that you strengthen us to be good workers. Look after our hearts as we search the scriptures this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the last several weeks, we've taken a look at the deity of Jesus, and we have seen the glory that he deserves for all that he is and all that he does, and his existence with the Father before he inhabits flesh, his faith in the Father while he is living a life just like you and I live here, his connection to the Father, the authority of the Father given to him, and his hope and knowledge that whatever the Father brought him to and brought him through, that he would be restored to his previous glory. And as you and I read and believe the story of his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection, as we walk in those steps, we all attempt appropriate responses to Jesus, don't we? I mean, we're here today because we're thankful. We lift him up in worship and in praise, and we sing songs because we are grateful for what he has done. We remember his sacrifice in the Lord's Supper because we are grateful for what he has done. We talk to him every day. We lift up our prayers and we reaffirm our trust and our hope. And we work so hard to stay connected to him. And this morning, I wanted us to take a look at a few of the stories where people were trying to give an appropriate response to what Jesus had done for them. And when you go through the Gospels, these will jump out at you in Luke chapter 7. People who actually were able to experience the life and the ministry of Jesus while he was here. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus is having dinner at someone's house, and a woman comes in and she washes his feet, and her tears provide some of the water, and she dries his feet with her very own hair. Just in recognition of who he is. He hadn't even said anything to her yet. She just comes in and she is weeping at his feet in recognition of who he is. And humbling herself to use her very own hair, the glory given to her by God, and drying Jesus' feet. See, that's a pretty amazing response to who Jesus is. And a couple chapters later, in Luke chapter 19, we know the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, go ahead, you're thinking it, might as well say it, was a wee little man. And he climbed up in that tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. He just wanted to see what's going on. What is this all about? And so he goes ahead of the crowd because he couldn't see through everybody. And he climbs up in the tree, and Jesus sees him in this tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down because I need to come to your house. And everybody that's following Jesus, all the good people that are walking in his steps and listening to his words and contemplating all that he is providing for them, their reaction, of course, is, well, does Jesus not know who this guy is? Does he not know that this tax collector is a sinner? Jesus hears all this and looks right at him and says, Zacchaeus, today's your day. Today's your day. I got to come to your house. After spending time with Jesus, Zacchaeus' reaction. His reaction is, Lord, half of my wealth, I'm giving it away. I'm just giving it away. I'm going to give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, if I have done anything less than honest or illegal, I'm going to pay that back. I'm going to pay that back. That's quite a reaction to meeting Jesus, is it not? So we have tears and service, and we have acts of generosity in people's life. In Matthew chapter 26, when we think about the disciples, the closest ones, in Matthew chapter 26, Peter's response and reaction to Jesus and everything that he says he has to go through, Peter said, I will die for you. He pledges his life in a real way, not, hey, this is not respond to the invitation of song of I have decided to follow Jesus, okay? That's not what this is. Peter looks right at him and says, Lord, I will die for you. I will give my life for you. Now, of course, in that part of the story, Jesus says, well, no, actually you won't. You're going to go another direction. But in another chapter, in John chapter 11, you remember Thomas? I mean, we give Thomas a hard time, but in John chapter 11, when Thomas finds out where this is all headed, he says, hey, let's go with him so that we may die with him. I'm ready. I'm ready. I've been following him all this time, and I have heard, and I believe, And I love, and I will go all the way. This is the guy. He gets my everything. And I will give my everything to him. Now, those are very extreme reactions to the life and presence of Jesus, right? Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus finds a man who is demon-possessed. And Jesus meets him, and he heals him, and he fixes him. And remember the guy's reaction? The Bible tells us the man begged Jesus to go with him. Jesus is the only one that offered a solution to his problem. Jesus heals him spiritually. And the man looks at Jesus and says, please, just let me come with you. I just want to be where you are. This is so amazing. I want to be your follower. I want to go wherever you're going. That's where I want to be. I have tasted and seen that you are good. And that's all I want. Doesn't turn out that way. But Jesus says, no, you go tell everybody. You stay here. All of these that we see in the Gospels are appropriate responses to Jesus. And you and I, we don't get to experience Jesus in the flesh like the people in the Gospels. We know the story of Jesus. We believe the story of Jesus. Our faith is no less. It's no weaker. It's not that it's not as powerful. And we have decided to follow Jesus. We have decided that He has healed our hearts. He has forgiven our sins. He has cast out demonic out of us. He has fixed us. He has provided for us. We will follow Him. We want to be where He is. We will die for Him. Because He is Lord. He is the most important thing to us. And you and I, as Christians, you and I try to fill our days with appropriate responses to the love of Jesus, do we not? I mean, we read our Bible. Why? So we can win an argument? I hope not. I hope you read your Bible every day so that you can know more and more about Jesus. So that you can learn, what do I do in this situation? What would Jesus do in this situation? What is the right thing to do? What is the faithful thing to do? How do I stay close to Him? And so we read the Scriptures and we remind ourselves every day, this is what Jesus looks like. Because we look at so many other things throughout the day that we forget. Our heart forgets. And we pray to Him. And we say, Jesus, I need you here. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. I need to know what to do in this situation. I need your strength to get me through this situation. And we pray to Him and we cry out to Him. And that's an appropriate response to Jesus. And we come together today and we sing songs of praise. And we lift Him up. And we are included in worship to Him. And we commune with Him. All of these are appropriate responses to the love of Jesus. And again, we spend a lot of our time thinking about being with Jesus, do we not? We spend a lot of our time and energy just filling our imagination of what heaven is going to be like. Of what we're going to do when He comes back. In fact, a shout out, you know this song, the group Mercy Me wrote a few years ago. I say a few years, I don't know what year it was. But you remember the song, I Can Only Imagine? Yeah, of course we do. It was a big hit. We love this one. In fact, they even made a movie after this. And you sing this song, and the songwriter says, Jesus, when I see you, when we are face to face, I can only imagine what my response is going to be. I mean, I'm going to be so excited. I don't know. I mean, am I just going to jump up and down and dance in front of you and just be so excited? Or am I going to just fall to my knees? The song says, when I see you, am I just going to sing hallelujah and praise your name? Or am I just going to be so awestruck that I can't say, I can say anything? I can only imagine. That's an appropriate response to the presence of Jesus in our lives, is to imagine what it's going to be like to see him face to face. And yet today we are brought, to a very real section of Scripture and a very real lesson that Jesus himself said, this is an appropriate response to who I am. You've got all of yours, and they're good, but this is the appropriate response to the fact that I am your Lord, that I am your Savior, that I am your Master. Our time and energy are best spent not daydreaming about what we will get to do in the future. Our time and energy is best spent acting like Jesus in the present. And church, because of his words, I find it very fair to say, we got to act like him now if we want to see him then. That's what we need to be doing. That's where we need to be. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Because all the things that we do and all the songs that we sing and all the wonderful things that we imagine and all the ways in which our imagination and our minds and our hearts just focus on who he is and what heaven's going to be like and imagining a time where all pain is gone and all problems are done and everything's only good and it's all just going to be wonderful and joyful and easy and reunited with those who've gone before us. And all that time and energy that we spend just thinking about those wonderful things. And Jesus gives his followers in Matthew chapter 25, this is what Matt read for us, he said, this is what it's actually going to look like. He says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to separate everybody. And I'm going to put some on my right hand and I'm going to put some on my left hand. And those that are on my right hand, Jesus said to him, verse 33, and he will place the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right, come here, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So he's got everybody separated and he says, okay, you sheep on the right, come on. This is what you've been waiting for. This is your time. This is it. This is all now yours. And he says in verse 35, he gives the reason why they're on that side. He gives the reason why they are being called in. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger. You welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. This is why you're called in. Because when I needed you, you were there for me. And they look at him, just like we would look at him, right? Well, Lord, when did we ever see you in need? When did we ever see you lacking or wanting or hungry or hurting or sick or naked or outcast? When did we ever see you experience, when did we do those things for you? This may be a verse that needs to be, have a box drawn around it. Look what he says in verse 40. The king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. As we serve those in need, we serve Jesus Christ. Now, in our minds, this completely makes sense, right? Of course it makes sense. It makes sense because There is no way for you and I, the songs that we sing, the prayers that we offer, everything that we do in worship and in service, none of it adds anything to Jesus. He doesn't need anything. He is complete. I sing a song to Him. He loves it. It makes Him happy, but it doesn't make Him any more. It doesn't add to Him. When I pray to Him and I glorify His name, it doesn't make Him better because I'm recognizing it. But what Jesus says is that it makes me better. And when it makes me better, I will actually go out and I will serve those that actually need my gifts and my love and my mercy and my energy to make their lives better. Church, you and I, we don't experience Jesus in the flesh. We believe the story. But Jesus says you have an opportunity to serve me in a very real way. You serve others who need you. Now that is absolutely amazing, and it is absolutely humbling at the very same time. It's convicting, isn't it? It's very convicting because we want to give Jesus our everything. We want to give Him our love and our worship and our desire and our allegiance and our energy and our strength. And He says, well, here I am. Not where you're looking for me, probably. Here I am, not in your worship service, not in your communion service. Here I am hurting and broken and needy. And that's when you served me. God is so good. He makes it possible for us to serve Him by being a blessing to those who need service. And so He says, if you get me, if you love me, if you care about me, and you really want to see me, then you have got to look like me. And what did Jesus do while He was here? He helped those who needed His help. He helped those who had, He helped those who had nothing else. He added to them. They couldn't add to Him. They didn't make Him more popular. They didn't make Him more powerful. They didn't make Him more exciting. And yet, He served. He served everyone hungry and naked and broken and sick and dying and dead and outcast and possessed. And He served. And He gave to them. Jesus teaches us to direct our energy to service to those who need it. Church, we need to take seriously this call to serve Jesus is to serve like Jesus. In verse 41, He will say to those on His left, depart from me, you cursed. He said, come in, you blessed. And now those on the other side, get away from me. Because you are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Because I was hungry. You didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison. You didn't visit. And then they're going to answer Him and say, well, Lord, when did we ever see you have a need? When did we ever see you hurting or lacking or struggling? When did we ever have an opportunity to serve you in these ways? And He will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus defines for us that service to Him, the only way to serve Him in these real, tangible ways, is service to others. That's it. So when it is put in front of us, someone needs you. Jesus needs you. Now, think about all the excuses and reasons every single day why we look past, ignore, or do not give of ourselves in service to others around us. Think of every excuse you've ever had, everything that was taking up your time, every full schedule, too busy, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough resources. Every reason that we have said in our own minds of why we could not help this person in this situation. That's Jesus. Now, how happy do you think Jesus is going to be on that last day when we show up and we go, I can only imagine. Give me my mansion, my robe, and my crown, because I'm here. Unfortunately, that's how a lot of followers of Jesus, look forward to heaven. Look forward to His return. I said the right things. I was dunked at the right place in the right time. I'm in. Serve me. Fluff my pillow. Woo, we're just going to sit up here and sing forever. Yay, God, I'm here. The party can start. Jesus says, if you want to be with me, you got to look like me. You want to be where I am, then you need to be where I am. But Lord, if we had seen you, well then of course we would have done something. I mean, if I saw your face in that person that I so easily ignored, well, of course I would have done something. Jesus, if you were right in front of me with a need that I could somehow provide for or give to or make you better, of course I would have done it. And He said, but you didn't. Because I was in front of you every day. I was around you every day. I was near you every day. Because how you treated one of the least of these, guess what? That's how you serve me. And church, that's the only way it's possible. Because we can't add anything to Jesus. And so Jesus proclaims and makes such a real way for us to truly serve Him by meeting the needs of those who actually have needs. And He says, that's who you need to help. Because in doing so, you're helping me. Church, we got to get out there and we got to see the face of Jesus in pain and suffering and loneliness and lack everywhere around us. We have to understand that is Jesus. That is Jesus that I am serving. That is Jesus that I am helping. Why? Because I want to be with Jesus. I want to look like Jesus. I want to walk in His steps. Great. Where did He go? What did He do? What did He spend His time doing? Serving others. Boy, that's a challenging call, isn't it? That's a difficult lesson. I don't want to say a harsh word. It's only as harsh as we're not doing it, right? It's not a harsh word, it's truth. It's the words of Jesus. It's just harsh when we're not taking care of business like He's told us to. Let's close it over in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 7. Jesus tells a couple parables here. A couple stories about dinner parties, banquets. Luke 14, 7. Now He told a parable to those who were invited when He noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, hey, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, don't sit down to a place of honor. Because someone more distinguished than you will be invited by him, and he who has invited you both will come to you and say, give your seat, that's not yours, that's theirs. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher, then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay, just so you know, here at Sunrise, the back three rows are the seats of honor. That's our honorable seats. So if you want to be humble, you got to sit up here so I can tell you, that's not for you. You need to scoot back a little bit. I'm just saying. In verse 12, he also told him this story. He also said to the man who had invited him, hey, when you give a dinner or a banquet, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So Jesus says, look, we are not here to seek our own honor. Our energy is not given to us to build ourselves up, to make ourselves feel good, or to exalt ourselves, or to put us on a pedestal. That's not what we're here for. When Jesus came in the flesh, that's not what he was here for. He came in humility. And we have accepted his life for ours. And so we show up wherever we're at. We're at school, we're there in humility. We're at work, we're there in humility. We're at church, we're there in humility. We're within our family, we're there in humility. We are there to serve, meet needs. That's why God puts us where he puts us, so that the life of Jesus can still be lived even today. And all of our kindness and all of our energy is not for friends and those who have something we want. Our service has to include those who have absolutely nothing to pay us with. It's not enough that we say, well, you know, I've got family obligations. I got work obligations. I got kid obligations. I have all of these obligations to all the people that God has put in my life. We have an obligation to those who can give us absolutely nothing in return. Freely we have received. Freely we give. Church, I know every single one of you want to be with Jesus. And Jesus wants us to be with Jesus on that day. On this day, Jesus wants us to be like Jesus. That's the appropriate response to the glory of Jesus. So if you need to respond to the good news of Jesus and all that he has done for you, and you need to receive eternal life and salvation for your sins, we invite you to appropriately respond. Confess Jesus and be baptized into his name. All right, sheep. The alternative is goatee. That's not what we want to be. So I got to tell you, we got to hear it. This week, that's our challenge. This week, our challenge is to be like Jesus. And I still want you to sing songs. I still want you to pray. And I want you to think about all the wonderful things that are in store for you. But church, I want you, when you get there, for your Lord and Savior to look at you and say, come on. You did it. I don't want anyone to show up and be surprised and go, "Oh, but I didn't know. What do you mean I was supposed to do this and that, and I was supposed to help them, and I was supposed to serve here?" I don't want anyone to be caught surprised on that day. You can be surprised today. Today was a tough one. I get it. You can be a little surprised today. I don't want you to be surprised on that day. All right? So, if you need to respond to the good news of Jesus, we invite you to do so. And all of us, church, I believe, all of us, not all of you, all of us, we need to respond this week to the good news of Jesus. And then we need to be like Jesus. So, if we can pray for you, we can help in any way, let us know.